I want to start. So I was kind of looking through your resume, and I just want to kind of talk about everything that I'm seeing there. You taught at Princeton. You served as the dean in the Purdue College of Engineering. You've got 25 U.S. patents under your belt. Patents in the College of Engineering went up 40% during your tenure as the dean there. And you were also the recipient of the Alan T. Waterman Award, which is the most prestigious U.S. award for scientists under 40. What do you want people to take away from your background as an inventor and entrepreneur? And how do you think that's going to translate into your leadership here at Purdue?
Well, the number one lesson I learned, whether it's running my research lab, I used to be an engineer. Now I'm just an administrator. But whether it's in my research work, my teaching work, serving in the U.S. government, in the State Department, or in my private sector startup experience, you know, the number one lesson, Ben, I learned is the who before the what. It's all about the team that you have. So I think perhaps one common theme of everything that I've been able to work on so far is a reflection of the team that I was able to be part of. And here at Purdue, we've got outstanding team. We've got great faculty and students and staff. We've got great neighbors and staff and alumni and partners. So with this kind of team, we can really go places.
Yeah. You know, from sitting in the trustee meetings and talking with President Daniels as he exited, the big theme seems to be how a transition in leadership will maintain the success and growth of the previous administration. How do you see your role here?
Well, Ben, you know, it's going to be Daniel's decade continuing into the future decades. We've had a tremendous momentum with Mitch as a transformational visionary leader, and we're going to continue that momentum going forward. With one exception that I have mentioned in front of Ways and Means hearing as well earlier this month, from Harley-Davidson to Haagen-Dazs. So I don't know how to ride a Harley-Davidson. You don't want to see me try. But I do consume a lot of ice cream of all brands. Other than that, it's going to be, you know, full speed ahead and full continuity.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will be asking this, so I'm just going to make it pretty direct. How is your leadership going to be different from Mitch Daniels? And how do you see yourself as, you know, a different kind of leader?
Well, you know, clearly I do not have the experience that Mitch had in national and state leadership roles. And I'm a nerdy engineer. I lived my life in the academia world, although I did, as you mentioned, have some experiences in private sector with my startup companies, working with tech companies. I did serve our country for 1 year in Washington, D.C. But, you know, by and large, I'm a academic person. So, you know, nerdy engineers and or just nerds in general, I guess, is going to do things very much related to the academic side of the world. And I think we've got a lot of outstanding students here. Not all of them are STEM students, by the way. We are proud to be the largest STEM undergraduate source of talents for the country among the top 63 research universities in America today. But we also recognize there are outstanding students and faculty across the entire campus in many other areas as well. So I'm just proud to serve and think of this role as a role to accelerate and amplify other people's success here on campus.
You know, you've been holding a number of listening sessions and now are through one of, I believe, three expected town hall sessions meeting with the campus community. What are you hearing and what are you hoping to kind of learn from those sessions?
Well, indeed, I've had a great time during the 6 month of transition to have many listening sessions. Some are around the state, covered almost 40 counties. And by the end of this fiscal year, end of June, I will have covered all 92 counties, listening to our neighbors. And Purdue has an extension presence in each and every one of those. I've had many rounds of dining court conversation with students, faculty listening sessions, conversation going on right now, town halls with undergraduate and graduate students coming up this week, you know, across the board. First, I'm just deeply appreciative of the Boiler Pride. So many Boilermakers doing great work, and immense honor to serve them. And second is that I'm also gathering some recurrent themes. You know, Ben, when you sit down with a few folks in the room, They don't agree on everything among themselves either. And I'm learning from them, and they might have just met each other for the first time. But sometimes you pick up, like a lot of people keep bringing up certain points, and that make you want to dive in. And that's why on day one, we created the Student Housing and Wellbeing Action Council.
Okay, so I'm so glad that you brought that up. You know, I was going to ask you about some of the key focuses that I've already seen, and those appear to be, housing and mental health issues among students. You know, maybe let's start with mental health. Why is that a key priority, and how is Purdue going to address that here on campus?
We're hearing from our undergrad and grad students a lot, from parents, from staff members, that you know, mental health is important to our students' overall well-being, in addition to safety and physical health. And we recognize that as a priority, and therefore, within the first week, we said we're going to invest in staffing level and in general service level so that anybody with a need and they're ready to talk to someone, the professional, then we will not let them wait, whether for the first appointment or for future return appointments. So we're going to add enough capacity on the supply side in services such as those run by CAPS on campus to meet that demand.
You know, is it fair to say, you know, one of the senses that I've gotten from reading your letters is that there's going to be this renewed focus on faculty and staff in this first year, especially with your decision to step away from the Purdue Research Foundation for just that first year. You know, talk to me about why you're taking this approach.
Well, look, Purdue is a large, complex organization, and there's a lot that I hope to be able to contribute in serving our faculty, staff, and students on this campus, and we have Purdue Research Foundation right next door. It is a legally separate entity, nonprofit, and I'm so glad that the Purdue Research Foundation's own board of directors agreed to my suggestion last fall to consider requesting Mitch Daniels to continuing his role as the chair of the board. And I'm so glad that Mitch, upon listening to their plea, agreed to continue to serve in that capacity, leading the governing board, because we've got important activities in addition to what we just talked about. For example, economic development opportunities to the Greater Lafayette, including Discovery Park District. For example, our presence in Indianapolis, including working with the state and civic and business community leaders in Indianapolis. Those two in particular are very important issues. A lot of those activities happen within Purdue Research Foundation. We've got a great team led by President of the Foundation, Brian Edelman, and the whole team that he put together, but also the governing board, having Mitch there to continuing as the chair of the board is going to be very, very helpful.
You know, why is it for you just about juggling all of the new duties as you step into this role? Or is it about saying, I really want to make sure that we're doing the academic and the student side correctly before I step into this kind of dual role as also managing some of our kind of more economic development?
Well, you
projects.
Said it better than I could have.
Okay. I want to touch on housing as well, because you brought it out up. You know, what I'm hearing from the city of West Lafayette are some concerns about how quickly admissions have ramped up, and a feeling, I think, sometimes, this is from city councilors, that admissions ramped up without consideration of housing in the region, that there wasn't enough housing to meet the demands. And so what can you tell me about how Purdue is going to address some of these housing shortages? And can we expect more on-campus housing, or is the hope that, you know, the city will step up and provide more of this, you know, housing apartment complexes?
Well, first of all, it's interesting to look at the number of applicants to our undergraduate population. That number, even after discounting for the Common App boost to almost every school's applicant numbers, rose by about 75% over the last 8-9 years. That is tremendous growth. And right now we're looking at this year, perhaps another record year in the number of applicants from high schools throughout our state and the United States and globally. We are actually turning away so many more applicants each year now, right? And we can't help if just so many more people want to come to Purdue and get a chance to be admitted. Now, the university has been investing in the housing situation, including the Aspire apartment purchase turning into student dorms. Now, having said that, of course, we always would like to be one brick higher, if you will, and we are through this Action Council on Student Housing and Well-being, which encompasses undergrad, grad student reps, a parent, and all relevant units across the entire campus, working together and reporting back to the president and the board of trustees with recommendations. So I'm very optimistic that there will be a lot of further positive actions taken.
Yeah. You know, I'm also hearing from some graduate workers about their desire for a higher wage here at the university. You know, they point at language in your letter that you put out earlier this year, calling graduate workers the engine that powers our research and teaching missions as kind of a cause for hope. You know, talk to me about, is there a chance that we might see an increase in the graduate stipend? And our kind of graduates are calling for an increase from 24 as the base to something closer to 31 as the base. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, the university always and will continue to recognize the important roles that our graduate students play in both research and teaching. And that includes master students as well as PhD students and professional students. And we deeply appreciate it. You know, I've had the chance to work with more than 50 PhD students and postdocs in my own lab at Purdue and at a prior institution. And in fact, about half of them have become professors in research universities themselves. So they've also had PhD students. Some actually are now professors too. So when I go to, say, conferences in some wireless network conference, I get to see my academic great-grandchild, for example. I mean, it's scary, but, you know, it is a very important part of academic life. Now, we had, as a university, we have been investing, for example, about a year ago now, the university invested resources to boost the student stipend for PhD students. And some colleges, including the largest college in terms of research and graduate students, College of Engineering, that I used to be the dean of, prior to that already invested to elevate the entirety of the graduate student stipend profile from the minimum to the median to the higher end to be competitive. And we recognize that we got to compete for the best talents against our peer institutions. With inflation and with what other institutions are doing, we got to stay competitive. So part of the student housing and well-being, even though we didn't spell it out in the name of the Action Council, is going to be about graduate student. There will be an action committee focused on graduate student stipend.
And figuring out, I guess, what is a fair stipend?
Well, you know, I think, again, some colleges started doing that. University as a whole, a year ago, put in a substantial investment to elevate stipend. And that's reflected in both TAs and RAs, teaching assistants and research assistants. Teaching assistants are funded by University Central Fund. Research assistants are, generally speaking, put in the budget to external research funding agencies by professors. So we've put in mechanisms to elevate both, and this is something that matters to me, matters to the university significantly. So this year, through this Action Council, we will continue to evaluate what further actions we can take on the graduate student stipend this year.
And are we going to get results from this Action Council this year? I mean, do you have a sense for a timeline here?
Well, it's called Action Council, and I put the word action in there to highlight that this is not just a general conversation venue. We are driven by a sense of purpose, and we want to do things with intent and intentionality and intensity. So, well, that's a lot of alliterations there. But we would very much be geared towards action-driven recommendations from the Action Council. And then it will be for the Board of Trustees to have a conversation about it as well. So I'm very optimistic that we realize we got to be competitive, and we got to attract and retain the best talents among our graduate students, and we will be taking actions.
In your first town hall, you reportedly talked about, again, both of these issues, housing and compensation for staff being a priority. I think that, you know, may beg the question here, you know, if we see increases in terms of where university funding is going there, is there a danger that the university's decades-long tuition freeze may be coming to a close?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You are not the first one asking me that question. I got that from back in June last year. You know, people started asking me once they heard the announcement of me becoming Purdue's next president, say, so, Meng, what about the tuition freeze? Are you going to continue it? Well, I assure you and all your audiences, as I assured others, that affordability remains a top priority in the minds of Purdue. We are so proud that not only we saved many families, parents and students, a lot of their future income or their current savings, but also we believe that it is part of our DNA to enable student access and success so that as a public land-grant institution, Purdue University will be enabling pathways whereby more lives will be lifted and uplifted. So affordability will remain a priority. And the Board of Trustees and myself have made it clear that we intend to continue tuition freeze for as long as we can. Now, we always evaluate this on an annual basis. So we do it year by year. And depending on all factors considered, then we make a recommendation to the Board of Trustees, and then they vote and decide for the following fiscal year. So we'll see what's going to happen in the coming trustees meeting.
Yeah. But you're saying the goal is to maintain it for as long as possible.
We'll maintain the tuition freeze for as long as possible. And we're going to do it as we have always done on an annual basis.
You traveled with Governor Holcomb last year as part of an effort to meet with foreign businesses in Taiwan and South Korea. We've seen a number of recent announcements about the companies coming to West Lafayette, and Daniels teased a few more would be coming as he left. Talk to me about what other developments we might see in the West Lafayette region.
Well, you know, first I think that bringing in more tech companies and their jobs to our neighborhood is something that's very good for our students. They can intern there, they can do co-op there, they can do projects with the companies. It's very good for our faculty members because the professors can work on research collaboration, write proposals together, and maybe turn some of their research into deployable technologies. It's very good for our town and Greater Lafayette region, as more jobs is going to create more wealth and therefore more opportunities for quality of life, education systems, healthcare systems, and so on. As I travel across all these counties, what I see often as a recurrent theme, again, a lot of differences among the counties, but a recurrent theme is if you care about broadband, you care about quality of life, you care about schools, you care about your hospitals, then you do want population, wealth, and job creation. So Purdue, as a public land grant, is proud to be an economic growth engine for our state of Indiana and co-generate what I would call the three elements, workforce or talents, jobs and careers, and knowledge together. So talents, jobs, knowledge, co-creation with a quality at a scale that is second to none in the United States, as is our basketball team today. I don't know when you're airing this recorded interview, but as of today, we are number one basketball team in America. So we do that second to none with a quality and the scale that is second to none in the U.S. Now, it is also true that in addition to the successes over the past couple of years, we've got some interesting upcoming ones too. For example, just last Friday, we celebrated Strato launch, and the press came out yesterday on Monday that this is a hypersonic company, very innovative aerospace company, and they're headquartered in the desert in California, but now they're opening an advanced program office right here in Convergence Center in Discovery Park District. So there will be a few more coming, working hard as one single team with Greater Lafayette region, with our neighbors. We just had a wonderful dinner reception for them last night. And with the state of Indiana, especially IEDC and Secretary Chambers.
Anything I'm not asking you about this and about things that you're thinking about as you come into this role that you want to say or you think is important to mention?
Well, let's see. We did talk about basketball. We did talk about ice cream. We did talk about housing and well-being. I do hope we can talk a bit about, there's something special about Purdue. And it's a unique combination of excellence and values. It's a unique combination of excellence at scale. If you, I'm a person who likes to draw charts. I know it's hard to do that on radio, but let's try together with your audience, right? Draw a two-dimensional chart. On the one axis, it is scale. How big is the place? How many students, how many faculty, and how many are you educating? How many patents generate? How many research results? On the y-axis is the quality, is the excellence, okay? However you measure that. Okay. Now, if you look at where Purdue University sits, it is at that top right corner in this 2D graph here, right? So that excellence at scale is something truly remarkable. How can you be bigger and better at the same time? Now, just this morning, it was announced that in this year's U.S. News World Report ranking of online programs, Purdue's online engineering program is one notch higher, number two in America now, at the same time, we're able to expand the number of master online students by many factors last few years. So bigger and better, always one brick higher in both dimensions. It's not easy. It's not easy. But the Boilermakers has been able to make it work. We'll continue to do that.
Yeah. And I think that puts a nice cap on things because at the beginning I asked, is the goal here to maintain growth? And you're saying, the goal is to maintain growth, but also quality.
Yes, absolutely. Quality, individualized attention to our students, whether they're undergrad or grad, whether they're online or residential, and providing agile curricula that meet their needs, while at the same time, groundbreaking research that sometimes have a direct societal impact, sometimes to save lives. We are revitalizing a lot of the events post-COVID, one of which is Westwood Lecture Series. We invite one of our own faculty, this Professor Chi-Huang Lee, who has appointment in multiple colleges and departments here, and he's going to talk about sticker-like biomedical devices that's going to help make people who are almost blind be able to see clearly, talking about injecting these little tiny devices onto your skin to detect disease before they get too bad. And that's just one of the thousands of examples. I just can't tell you how excited and humbled I am to be able to serve alongside all these talents and serve them well.
Last question and hardest question. How far is Purdue basketball going to go this year?
It's going to go as far as, I guess, number one. It's a ball game. You can never predict the results. There are strong teams out there. We respect them. But so far, we've seen just an outstanding team working together. And we're proud of all our student athletes. In this particular case, Well, hey, I'm knocking right here on this wood. I will very much be excited to see a Final Four. Beyond that, as you know, hey, it's sort of a hard to tell. All competing at the highest level. It depends on a lot of other factors. But I think we're in it to win it, and we're determined to be outstanding in everything we choose to do.
President, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ben. Good to be here.